This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kisisa, and we will start at the beginning of the Parsha, chapter 30, Pasuk number 11. The Pasuk says, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor, Hashem spoke to Moses saying. The second Pasuk, number 12, says, Kisisa esroish bnei Israel lifkudeyem, when you will take the census of the Jewish people according to their counts. But literally the words Kisisa esroish bnei Israel means when you are going to raise the head of the Jewish people, which in the simple interpretation means that you are going to take a head count, then venostu ish koifer nafshoi l'Hashem, each person should give an atonement for his soul to Hashem, bifkoid oisom, when you are counting them, like that, veloyev v'am negev bifkoid oisom, you won't have a plague when you count them. And Rashi explains that counting the Jewish people brings ayin hara, evil eye, and because of that evil eye, something bad could happen. Therefore, it's telling you here that if you take a head count, do not count them directly. How should we count them? Pasuk number Yud Gimel, which is going to be the focus of our shir, Zayitnu, this is what they should give. Kol oiver lapikudim, everyone who passes among the counted should give what? Machtiz ha-shekel b'shekel ha-koidesh, should give half a shekel by the holy shekel. Esrim gero ha-shekel, each shekel was worth 20 gera. Machtiz ha-shekel, you should give half a shekel, trumol Hashem, a portion to Hashem. There is a famous Rashi here, which is on the word Zeh Yitnu, this is what they should give. And this Rashi is actually a Medrash in Psikta Rabasi Perek Tes Zayin, where the Mizrahi explains that Rashi's question is that every time it's written the word Zeh, this means that we're pointing to something, as it's written in this Parsha, chapter 32, Pasuk number 1, after the Jewish people saw that Moshe Rabbeinu is delayed, they said, Ki Zeh Moshe Oish, that this Moshe, the man, Ashalonu Meretz Mitzrayim, that brought us up from Egypt, Lo Yodanu Mehoyoloi, we don't know what happened to him. Rashi, because of the word Zeh, and Zeh means pointing, and obviously, since they are saying that they don't know what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu, technically they couldn't be pointing to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi therefore says, based on the Medrash, that the Satan, the angel in charge to entice us to sin, he saw that he cannot convince the Jewish people to sin. Therefore, he decided that he's going to make an apparition of Moshe Rabbeinu's oren, Moshe Rabbeinu's bier or coffin, being accompanied by the angels. Everybody pointed to it and saw, Ki zeh Moshe Oish, this Moshe, meaning they're pointing to Moshe Rabbeinu, they don't know what happened to him. And because they don't know what happened to him and they saw his coffin, then they decided that they're going to ask Aharon, that Aharon should make him something to substitute Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see that Zeh always is pointing to something. Here too, Zeh means that it's pointing to something. If that is true, then why was Hashem required to point to something when he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu about the half shekel? Rashi quotes the Medrash, and I will give the exact words of the Medrash. The Medrash says, Nizkashe Moshe b'machtiz ha-shekel, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time understanding the half shekel, ad shenotel HaKadosh Baruch Hu matbeya shaleish, until Hashem took a coin of fire, mitachas kisei hakoved, from underneath the throne of glory, v'omaloi, and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, kozeh yitnu, like this, a coin like this, they should give. All the Meforshim are bothered, what does it mean, niskashe Moshe b'machtiz ha-shekel, that Moshe Rabbeinu found hard in the half shekel. What's so hard? You take a coin, which is a dollar, and you give a half a dollar. What was so hard that Moshe Rabbeinu, who understood the whole Torah, could not understand the machtiz ha-shekel? And what was Hashem's answer, that he took a fiery coin from under his throne of glory, and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want them to give the half shekel like that. It is inconceivable to say that Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand what a half a shekel is. There must be something deeper in Moshe Rabbeinu's difficulty, and by Hashem showing him the fiery coin and saying that I want him to give like this. The first answer I'll give is the answer of the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe says that Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand how physical money, how a coin of gold could achieve atonement for the soul. And that was a difficulty that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Hashem answered him by showing him a fiery coin. Meaning, Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that it is not the coin that atones. It's not just merely giving money that atones. It's how you give the money. If you give the money with warmth, and you give the money with enthusiasm, islahavut, enthusiasm, and you give the money from the internal fire that you have, that you want to serve Hashem, that is what atones. Meaning that Magbeya Shel Eish, a fiery coin, a coin that's coming with warmth, that you're giving because you want to serve Hashem, and not just you giving away the money, that is what serves as atonement for Hashem. The Alshach HaKodesh brings a couple different answers. And all the answers of the Alshach are premised on the idea that the Machzor HaShekel, the half a shekel that we give, is atonement for the sin of the golden calf. Koifer Nafshoy, atonement for the soul, means that since we sinned in the golden calf, therefore we require to have an atonement. And basically, like Rashi says, that the Mishkan was an atonement for the golden calf, and since this money is going to be used for the Mishkan, therefore all the answers of the Alshach are based on the idea that the Machzor HaShekel only came to atone for the sin of the golden calf. The first answer that he says is that since we know that the Shekel HaKodesh is Esrim Geirot, 20 Geiros, comes out that half a Shekel HaKodesh comes out to 10 Geira. Since 20 is a whole Shekel, half a Shekel is 10. And he says that the reason that Hashem told us to bring half a Shekel is because Hashem wanted this 10 Geira to atone for us transgressing the Ten Commandments, the Aseres HaDibros. Meaning that since the Yerushalmi in Shkolim, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel says that somebody who does idolatry is tantamount as he would transgress the Ten Commandments, therefore Hashem said to give 10 Geira, which is half a shekel, to atone for the sin of idolatry, which is equivalent to Aseres HaDibros, to the Ten Commandments. Then the Alshach brings a famous answer for Rav Shlomo ben Alkavetz Zal, that he says that the reason that Hashem told us to give a half a shekel is to teach every Jew that he is required to be united with another Jew. Meaning that each Jew should know that he is not complete unless he joins another Jew. That only if he joins another Jew, then he becomes complete. He by himself is only a half a shekel. You have to join another Jew to have or to be the full shekel. Meaning that the reason that Hashem told us to give a half a shekel is only a message of unity to teach us that we are not complete unless we join another person. The Alshach asks a question, why is this message given specifically here? If the message is of Achdus, then this message could have given anywhere, because the Jewish people always have to be Be'achdus. Then why is this message given specifically after the sin of the golden calf? As we mentioned, the Alshach believes that Parshas Kisisa is an atonement for the sin of the golden calf. Then why specifically after the golden calf we receive this message of Achdus? Why is this message given specifically at this juncture? Before we give the Alshach's answer, two answers come to mind. Meaning that it could be that the Torah specifically decided here to tell us about Achdus, unity, is number one, because since we are talking here about counting the Jewish people, when you start counting, then a person may think that he is something. Since the person may think that he is a number complete, the person may become haughty, then the person may come to decide that he doesn't need anybody else, that he is a number completely on his own. Therefore, the Torah is telling you that you should know that you are only a half a number. You are only machzis a shekel, half a shekel, and you require to have another Jew to complete you, that you are by yourself nothing. And this is specifically when you're counting people, which you're supposed to make sure that each one is on his own. Therefore, the Torah is telling you that by a Jew, that doesn't happen, that we are only machzis a shekel, half a shekel. We only have. The second interpretation could be based on the Yerushalmi Masechta Speya Perek Aleph, Aloche Aleph. There, the Gemara says that during the time of Achav, who was an evil king in Israel, even though the Jewish people were idolaters, nonetheless, whenever they went to war, they were victorious. The Talmud explains why. Because there was no dilatoria beinayim, meaning that there was nobody speaking bad about one another. Therefore, they were united. Since they were united, Hashem allowed them to become victorious, even though they were idol worshippers. Meaning that if there is Achdus, Hashem decides that He is not going to punish you. And not only doesn't He punish you, He actually makes you victorious at war. And that could be the message here after we sinned in the golden calf. Hashem may be telling us that even though you sinned in the golden calf, it's still possible for you to be forgiven and even victorious if you decide to have Achdus with another Jew. If you join together and do Ahavas Chinam, love another Jew without self-interest, only because he is a Jew, then Hashem may decide that He's going to forgive you for the sin, and He actually may make you even successful, that everything you do will come out the way that you want. As we also see that Hashem did not punish harshly the generation of the Tower of Babel, the Dor HaFlaga, the generation of the dispersion, which is mentioned in the end of Parshas Noach, because then everybody was united. And when everybody is united, even though you do idolatry, Hashem doesn't punish you as hard. That message is specifically timed after the Jewish people did the golden calf, when you are supposed to bring the atonement of the golden calf. Hashem is telling you that in order to achieve atonement, you could join another Jew, make Achdus. That is also part of the atonement of the golden calf. The Alshach himself says that it could be that Hashem decided to put the message of Achdus specifically here, is since we know that the people who actually worshipped the golden calf died. As the Torah describes on chapter 32, Pasuk number 26, after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain and he saw the golden calf, and he made the announcement, Mil Hashem Eli, who is for Hashem to me, meaning who is for Hashem, gather around me. And all the tribe of Levite gathered around Moshe Rabbeinu. And then Moshe Rabbeinu tells them that they should take a sword and each person should kill his brother and each person should kill his friend and each person should kill his relative that worshipped the idol. And then in Pasuk number 28, it actually describes Vayasub Nailevi Kidvar Moshe, that the Levites did like Moshe Rabbeinu said, meaning that they killed the people who worshipped in the golden calf, that it fell from the nation that day about 3,000 men. Then the people who are alive may think, why am I required to have atonement? Why am I required to be forgiven for the sin of the golden calf? The fact that I did not die during that sin shows that I did not sin. And since I didn't sin, why am I required to have atonement. Therefore, Hashem is telling you that you have to give koifer nafshoi, atonement for your soul, meaning that you are not giving atonement for what you did, you are giving atonement for what the other person did, meaning that you have to atone for not preventing the other person from dying. And the reason that you are giving atonement for him is because you were originally responsible for him. Since Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lo Ze, all Jews are co-signing for other Jews, meaning that it is my responsibility to make sure that the other Jew keeps the Torah. We can't say that since I am keeping Torah, what do I care what another Jew is doing? It's every Jew's responsibility that another Jew keeps Torah and mitzvahs. And since in the golden calf people perished, and the Torah is telling you that it is your responsibility that the other person perished, that it is your responsibility that you did not make sure that the other person keeps Torah in mitzvahs, it's your fault that the other person worshipped the idol. Therefore, you have to bring atonement for your lacking in your job as a co-signer, as a guarantor for the other person. The idea now that you bring a half a shekel, according to this interpretation of the Alshach, is to tell you that you are not only responsible for your actions, you are also responsible for another Jew's action, and you are also responsible, even after he dies, to bring atonement for him. The reason you have to bring machzis a shekel, a half a shekel, is not because of you, because since you are alive, obviously you did not sin and you repented already on your sin, but on the one that died, the person that perished after the golden calf because you worshipped the idol, for that person you require to have atonement. The whole nation is required to have atonement. Therefore, they bring machzis a shekel, half a shekel, to show that part of you perished, part of you sinned, and because of that, you bring the half shekel as atonement. Then the Alshach gives a totally different interpretation on the reason why was only required to have machzis a shekel, half a shekel. And he says, based on the Zohar in Bereshis Nunhei Beis, that all the souls, when they come out in heaven, they come out in pairs, as it's written in Bereshis chapter 5, Pasuk number 2, Zachru Nekeva Baram, male and female, he created them, Vaikra Shemam Adam, Hashem called their name Adam. The Zohar says that for male and female together, Hashem named originally Adam, meaning that both together are one entity, Adam. And as the Zohar in Achrei Mos explains, that a man, if out a woman, is considered palge de gufa, half a goof. A man is only complete when he marries a woman, then he becomes one, but if out a woman, he is considered only half. And since we know that in the golden calf, the women, not only they didn't sin, but according to the Midrash, they tried to prevent the men from sinning, comes out according to this, that women do not require to have an atonement for the sin of the golden calf. And as we mentioned, this shkolim, the counting of the people, by giving machzis a shekel, by giving this donation, served as atonement for the sin of the golden calf. And since the woman did not sin, then men cannot give a whole shekel, because by men giving a whole shekel would signify that his maleness, his male part and his female part both sinned. But since the women did not sin, and man is considered only a half a man, therefore, we only require to give a half a shekel. We're not required to give a whole shekel, because the female part, which completes us, did not sin. And since they did not sin, then we don't have to give a whole shekel. We only require to give half a shekel for half sinning, meaning the male half sinned, the female half did not sin, and by us giving a half a shekel, we are symbolizing that only our male half sinned. And that, the Alshech says, is what Moshe Rabbeinu found to be difficult. Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand why we need, number one, money to atone, and second, he did not understand why only half a shekel, why not the whole shekel to atone for the whole person. Therefore, Hashem took the matbeah shel esh, the coin of fire, mitachas kisei hakovod, from underneath the throne of glory, because the souls are stored underneath the kisei hakovod, underneath the throne of Hashem. And since it's written, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that a candle of Hashem is neshama of a person, meaning that each neshama is equivalent to a candle in front of Hashem, therefore Hashem decided to take a matbea shel esh, a coin of fire, which symbolizes that he took a male soul and he showed to Moshe Rabbeinu, Koze yitnu, like this you should give, meaning that this single soul, the soul without a woman, this single flame, which is now only the male flame, that is what I want you to atone for. I want you to atone for this neshama, for this soul that sinned. I don't need to have a whole shekel, because the female part did not sin. But this soul that sinned, that I need to have an atonement. And it's not the money that I'm interested in. I'm interested in their repentance and their broken heart. Like that, they will have an atonement. As we mentioned, the idea from the Kotzker Rebbe, doing something with inner heat, with warmth and enthusiasm, which fits very well with the idea of Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that the heat represents somebody's neshama, meaning that you have to do something using his neshama, his spiritual part, and not so much using his physical part, and that is the way to get the atonement through the money. The other answer could be based on the Majid Rebbe and his Sefer Imre Eish. There he first brings the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Lamedalet Amud Aleph 34a, where the Gemara there says, Omar Rabshir Ben Levi says, Bemokum Shebalei Tshuva Omdim, in a place where a penitent stands, meaning somebody who does tshuva, somebody who repents, the place where he stands, tzadikim gemurim einam omdim, even totally righteous people cannot stand there. And he brings the choivas alevavas, the duties of the heart, which tries to answer the question of how is it possible that somebody who is so pure, never sinned in his life, shouldn't be able to get to such a place of a person who sinned and repentant. A person who never tasted the taste of sin should definitely be in a higher place than a person who actually tasted the taste of sin. And the Choivas Alevavos explains that since a tzaddik, a completely righteous person, is always serving Hashem, and he's always teaching his generation how to serve Hashem, and he's always rebuking the other person on how to behave. He's teaching the other person who is making mistakes how to behave. Then the tzaddik is susceptible to becoming haughty, because since he is so perfect and he is teaching people who are imperfect, then it's natural tendency for a tzaddik to become a little haughty. But as somebody who sinned and somebody who is a Baal Tshuva, is always repenting on the things that he did wrong, a person like that will not become haughty, because he always sees his sins in front of him, and that doesn't allow him to become haughty. Therefore, since the Gemara in Masechta Soita, Dav Hei Omed Aleph says, Omar Rav Chisda Veiteme Marukva, Rav Chisda says, and some people say that Marukva says, Kol Odom Sheyesh Boi Gaso Zaruach, any person who possess haughtiness in spirit, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem tells him, Ein Ani Vehu Yacholim Lodur Bo'olam, that I can dwell together in the world, meaning that Hashem cannot have somebody next to him who is haughty, that Hashem doesn't tolerate anybody that is haughty, and since the Baal Tshuva is able not to be as haughty, therefore the Baal Tshuva gets closer to Hashem. True that somebody who is righteous deserves to have a place closer to Hashem, but since a person who is totally righteous and never sinned, he normally has the tendency to be a little bit haughty, and the repentant person is not haughty at all, then the repentant person is able to go higher, get closer to Hashem because of his broken heart and his humbleness. The Imre Eish says that according to this, we could also understand a very interesting Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kaf Beis Omed Aleph 102a. There the Gemara brings the Pasuk in Melachim chapter 13, Pasuk 33, where there it says, Achar Adovar Hazeh, after this thing, Loishav Yeravam Medarkara, Yeravam Benevat, the one who split the kingdom, the one who put idols in Dan and Bethel for the Jewish people to worship, and he wouldn't let the people go to Jerusalem, after this thing, he did not repent from his evil ways. So it seems to imply that something happened that should have caused them to repent, but after this thing, he would not repent anymore. The Gemara asks a question, Mai Achar, what is this thing that should have caused Yeravam ben Nevat to repent, and he didn't. The Gemara answers, Omar Rababa, Rababa says, Achar shetofsa kodesh baruch hu Yeravam bevigdoi, after Hashem himself grabbed Yeravam ben Nevat in his clothing, and he said, Chazor becha, Yeravam, please do tshuva, repent, vani ve'ato uvenishai netayel began Eden, me, meaning Hashem, you, Yeravam, and David HaMelech, the son of Ishai, will all go walking together in the Garden of Eden. Yeravam asks a question, Mi Beroish, who is going to be at the head of the walk? Who is going to walk first? So Hashem answered them, Ben Ishai Beroish, David HaMelech goes first. Then Yeravam says, Yache, if that is so, Loi Ba'ina, I do not need to repent. Meaning that even though Hashem told Yeravam ben Nevat that do tshuva, repent, and then you will be able to come into Gan Eden, but since Yeravam heard that he is not going to be the first, he is going to be in second place, then he decided that it's not worth for him to do tshuva, and he will not repent. The pasuk that says, Achar Adovar Hazeh, after this conversation with Hashem, Loishav Yeravam Medar Kara, Yeravam decided that he's not going to do tshuva. The Imre Eish asks a question. If you take a look, originally Hashem said in the language that do tshuva, repent, then me, meaning Hashem, you, meaning Yeravam ben Nevat, and David HaMelech will walk together. You see clearly that Hashem put first Yeravam, and then David HaMelech. Then why, when Yeravam asked who is first, did Hashem change the order and say that David HaMelech will be before Yeravam? And he explains that originally Hashem told Yeravam ben Nevat that if he does tshuva shalema, if he does complete tshuva, and he repents, and he is machnia himself, he humbles himself in front of Hashem, his heart is totally broken, then he will be able to reach a level that's even higher than David HaMelech. Because of his penitence and all the sins that he did and his broken heart, he'll be able to reach a level higher than David HaMelech. Even though David HaMelech was also a Baal Tshuva, he also repented for the sins that he did, but since Yeravam had bigger sins and more numerous sins than David HaMelech, then Yeravam, through his tshuva, by being a greater Baal tshuva, will be able to reach a level higher than David HaMelech. But once Yeravam ben Nevat opened his mouth and said that even when I do tshuva, I still want to know who is going to be first, that means that he still has haughtiness with him. Once he has haughtiness, then he can't get close to Hashem anymore. He can't reach such a high level. Then automatically, David HaMelech will be first and Yeravam will be second. Nonetheless, says the Imre Esh, from this we see that the main ingredient for somebody to truly repent is that he doesn't have haughtiness. Because if he's haughty, then he can't truly repent. Breaking your heart and do true repentance requires you not to be haughty. Therefore, he says that that is what is meant by this psukim in this week's parsha. The pasuk says, "Kisiso es roish b'nei Israel," when you are going to want to raise the head of the Jewish people, meaning that the Jewish people sinned and they fell down, and they want now to repent, they want to be able to raise their hand. Venosnu ish koifer nafshoi, then each one has to give an atonement for his soul. How do you atone for your soul? Meaning, what do you have to do in order to atone for your sins? Then the pasuk tells you, ze yitnu, this is what you should give, machtzis a shekel, half a shekel, meaning that a person should always think that he is not complete, that he is broken inside, that he is only half, that he doesn't deserve what he gets. Then, because of his broken heart and his humility, then he'll be able to raise his head and he'll be able to get higher and get to a place where tzaddikim can't even get. By him believing that he is not complete, that he is only half, that in turn will cause him to get in a higher place closer to Hashem, and then he'll be able to raise his head and be able to be fully atoned for his sin. According to this Imre Esh, I wanted to say, now we could understand why Niskashe Moshe, why did Moshe Rabbeinu find hard the idea of the Machtzis HaShekel, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu thought that since this person is about to do tshuva because he wants to have koifer nafshoi, he wants to have the redemption of his soul, he wants to have atonement for his soul, then why shouldn't we make him give a whole shekel? What is the point of giving only half a shekel? As we mentioned, the whole point is that he shouldn't get haughty. But Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand it, specifically because regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it's written in Bamidbar, chapter 12, pasuk number 3, Vawish Moshe onav me'oid mikol ha'odom asher ha'pnei adama. Moshe Rabbeinu is more humble than any person on the face of the earth. Because of Moshe Rabbeinu's humility, he could not understand that somebody who is repentant could be haughty. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand why is it required to give a machtzis a shekel. Why not make him give a whole shekel? Because he is repentant, then automatically he won't be haughty. There is no need to give machtzis a shekel. Hashem in turn answers him that he took a coin mitachas kisei hakovet, underneath the kisei hakovet, underneath the throne, because it's written in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Peivav Omet Beis 86b, it's written, Gedoy Letshuva, Tshuva is so great, Shemagaz at Kisei HaKovet, that reaches up to the throne of Hashem. We see that Tshuva, true Tshuva, is so great that reaches the throne of Hashem, but only such Tshuva that doesn't have any haughtiness in it. True that you could do Tshuva. But if you do tshuva like Yeravam ben Nevat, that has haughtiness in it, then it doesn't reach so high. In order to reach tachas kisei hakovet, you require to have a tshuva, a repentance, that's totally devoid from haughtiness. And that is symbolized by the machtzis HaShekel, that you have to always feel like you are totally broken up, and you are only half. And only then, after you feel like you are broken and you are half, and you are not haughty, then you are able to reach the Kisei HaKovet. So Hashem was hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu that the only reason that I gave the Machtzis HaShekel, the half a shekel because I want to make these people who are repentant able to reach the Kisei HaKavod. And the only way they'll be able to reach the Kisei HaKavod is only if they are machzis, only if they feel like they are half. So by them giving the machzis a shekel, it's teaching them the way to reach the Kisei HaKavod, which means that they should not be haughty. I wanted to answer that the idea of machzis a shekel, of half a shekel, is the same idea that the Sheris Menachem Chele Gimel brings down the name of Chartkever Rebbe to answer the question, why did the rabbis establish that you should give 39 makas, 39 lashes, when the Torah clearly writes down Arboim Yakena that you require to give 40. Meaning that on Devarim chapter 25, Pasuk number 3, the Torah there speaks about a person who is found guilty of a crime, meaning that he transgressed a negative commandment. And everybody who transgresses a negative commandment is required to get lashes. The Torah tells you how many lashes you should give. The Torah in Pasuk number 3 says, Arboim Yakena, you should give 40 lashes. Lo Yosef, you should not give more than 40 lashes, because Pen Yosef Lakoisu Ailele Makarabo, but lest you go and give him one more maka, one more lash, then the Nikla Ochicholanecha, then your brother will become degraded in front of you, meaning that you will be degrading him too much. Therefore, you should only give a maximum of 40 lashes. Do not give more than 40. The Torah is very explicit in saying that we require to give 40 lashes for somebody who is guilty and he's required to get this kind of punishment. But yet, the rabbis came around and the rabbi said that we do not give 40 lashes, we only give 39 lashes. The question that the Chartkever Rebbe is trying to answer is, why did the rabbis make this law? Why didn't the rabbis follow clearly the directive of the Torah? And the Chartkever Rebbe answers that the rabbis wanted that the person who received the lashes should not think that by him getting this punishment, these lashes, his slate is clean, meaning that his sin is completely atoned, that he doesn't need repentance. Therefore, the rabbis decided that they are going to give only 39 lashes. Like that, the person will know that he still is required to do tshuva in order to clean the slate. Meaning that had he done all 40 lashes, then he would have thought, since I already paid for the crime, I don't need to have atonement. Lahavdil, like somebody who is in jail and he sits his whole sentence, then he figures he doesn't have to repent for his crime since he already finished the whole sentence. Therefore, the rabbis decided that they are going to reduce one lash. Like that, it's always going to be missing one. And the person will remember, since it's missing one lash, that means that he still is not finished with his crime. Then he will repent in order to finish the crime. According to this, I wanted to say that this is the idea of the machzis a shekel. Meaning, if the Torah would have said that a person who comes, he has to give a shekel, then the person would have thought that his atonement is complete. By him giving a shekel, by him giving a full coin, that his atonement is complete. He paid the fine for his crime. Now he doesn't even need to repent. Therefore, the Torah tells you, I want you to give me machzis a shekel. I only want you to give me half a shekel. I will take only half of that. But the other half, I want you to repent. The machzis a shekel is not made as a full atonement. Full atonement only works if you actually repent over your crime. And then I was thinking, what is the logic that the money itself, the shekel itself, should not atone for his whole crime? And the answer is quite simple, that since man is comprised of two parts, he is comprised of his physical body, his guf, and he's also comprised of his spiritual body, which is the neshama, the soul. And when he makes a sinful act, then both his soul and his physical, both are making this sinful act. Then it's not logical to think that by him doing a physical action, by him giving physical money, that will atone for the part of the soul that can't atone for the crime that he did with the soul. And repentance itself, theoretically, since repentance is only a soul part, technically that cannot atone for the physical part of the crime that he committed. Therefore, maybe you're always required to have some physical action in order to rectify your crime. You're required to have the spiritual component of repentance and a physical component of actual action in order to repent for your crime. That could be the idea of Sur Mera V'Asei Tov, live evil and do good, that just living evil is not complete of an atonement. Your atonement is only complete when you Asei Tov, you make an action for good. Because you making an action for good atones for your physical action for bad, and your repentance, your living evil, atones for your spiritual doing evil. Meaning that Sur Mera, living evil, Asei Tov, that is the only way that you do tshuva. It's not a two-step process, live evil and do good. The do good completes your tshuva process, your atonement, because that completes the forgiveness for the physical part of your sin. Therefore, could be that this is exactly why Hashem told us that we only have to bring machtzis a shekel, half a shekel, because the money that we give could only atone for our physical part. Since money is physical, it could only atone for the physical part of the sin. But the other half, since it has to be spiritual, only tshuva will work. No money will work to atone for the second half. According to this, I wanted to say that this could be the interpretation of Niskashe Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand, found it difficult, the machtzis a shekel and the answer of Hashem. Meaning that, as we mentioned by the Kotzke Rebbe, that Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand how is it possible that money could atone for sins. How can the physical money atone for sins? Therefore, Hashem went underneath the Kisei HaKovet and took a matbeya shel esh, a coin of fire. Meaning that Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that you're right, physical money doesn't atone completely for the sin, because since physicality cannot atone for spirituality, physicality could only atone for portion of the sin, for machtzis a shekel, for half the sin, for the physical part of the sin. But the other half, only tshuva, repentance, could atone. And if a person does complete tshuva, then gedoyle tshuva, tshuva is so great, shemagaz at kisei HaKovet, that reaches the kisei HaKovet. And as we mentioned, underneath the kisei HaKovet is also Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam, the candle of Hashem, which is the neshama of a person. Then Hashem took that neshama that is under the kisei HaKovet, and Hashem showed that neshama that is achieved through tshuva, and neshama which is spiritual, which is for the other half. Hashem was showing Moshe Rabbeinu that you're right, that physical money doesn't atone for the whole sin, but the tshuva that a person does, which reaches the kisei HaKovet, and that is the neshama, the soul of a person, which is spiritual, that will atone for the second half. Therefore, he took specifically a matbeya shel esh, not a physical matbeya, a fire matbeya, a spiritual matbeya, and showed Moshe Rabbeinu, kazeh yitnu, that it'll only work if you give also like that. If you give the half a shekel in this world, you give the physical in this world, and then the spiritual, you take care to make the tshuva, to repent, then both together will work. Kazeh, if they do also like that, then the tshuva, repentance, will be complete. And Hashem Yisborach should help that since we are in the month of Adar, the month of beginning of redemption, and we also are in the parshas that is talking about the building of the tabernacle, the building of the resting place of Hashem. And as we learned today, that we have to make sure that we give charity, we give physical money to Hashem, and also that we completely repent to Hashem, and also that we have to be completely be'achdus, completely in unity, like that we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mheira b'yomeinu, Amen.